Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend. It's going to be beautiful. All weekend. Maybe we'll have some friends or family over. Maybe you want a barbecue. Maybe you just want to, after going out and cutting the lawn, maybe you just want to have a nice cold beverage on the deck, whatever it may be. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels of the Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And the special, now through Tuesday, Yingling Golden Pilsner, 12-pack, 12-ounce cans, $9.49. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great product, great staff, great service department. Our play-by-play call of the day, Nelson Cruz. Not once, not twice, but three times he homers.
A blast to left field, and Nelson Cruz continues to pound the baseball. Number 23, and the Twins take the first lead, 1-0. Cruz with a drive to center, a bullet, and that one is gone. Nelson Cruz with two swings in Chicago and two tape-measure home runs. High fly, right center field, deep to the gap. He's got three tonight. Nelson Cruz with his third home run of the night, and we're only in the fifth inning. Lucas Giolito had given up just 10 home runs all year long, and the Twins have hit four against him so far tonight.
One of the real underrated guys, Dick Bremer, with the call on the Twins TV network last night. He has always done a great job. Any sport. A lot of time he did a lot of Big Ten work. Really, really good at what he does. Just being in Minnesota doesn't get the national recognition. Nelson Cruz, three home runs. All right. Your guy, Antonio Brown. Did you see how your guy arrived at Raiders training camp?
Let's see. Rolls Royce?
No.
Helicopter?
No.
Slid through a side entrance like Juju did yesterday on the down low?
No.
Okay.
Your guy appropriately went into camp on a hot air balloon. Appropriate on so many levels.
I love it. Let the fun begin in Oaktown. That's
meanwhile, Jalen Ramsey with the Jags arrived at an armored car. A Brinks truck.
Sing a little subliminal message to Shad Khan. Good luck with that.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Brown said, Raider Nation, I'm here in Napa. It's time to get to work. He then copied Muhammad Ali's iconic float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, saying, quote, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Terrific. So you could have done that in Latrobe.
Didn't miss it at all.
But in the end, your guy drove him out.
That was the thing yesterday with Juju. People are, okay, I wonder if Juju's going to, because he is all over social media, posts a lot of YouTube videos, has like a Juju TV channel, you know, goes around Pittsburgh and talks to people and I'm saying, okay, I'm just hoping he keeps things in perspective. And is he going to do something elaborate, showboat showing up in Latrobe yesterday? Nope, just glided in smoothly, just went through a side door, showing no attention toward himself. So we like that. Very uneventful start to training camp. We'll take that. We're not used to that.
Then Lamar Jackson says that he wants the doubters to eat their words when it comes to his ability to throw the ball.
Well, he addressed that toward you, I think.
I mean, he can throw it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody know where it's going?
But yeah, with that guy, I mean, going year one to year two, more film on him, defenses can catch up to him. So yeah, will he progress or regress?
He went 6-1 as a starter. But during those seven starts, he was also 30th in completion rate at 58%. He was 31st in off-target percentage, missing 23%. And let's give Lamar Jackson credit. He said, quote, "You guys saw me last year. I was horrible. A lot of ducks. It's been better. I have a lot more tight spirals." I mean, to his credit, he at least is very open about, no, you guys got it all wrong about me. And said, no, he's very candid about where he was last year. He's going to use that chip on his shoulder. Nothing like that chip. Here's the ultimate chip. If I don't do well, somebody's going to replace me. All right, so that's the ultimate chip right there. I always love that. I got a chip in my head. I have to play with a chip. Really? You play with a chip, huh? Yeah. Just go to work. Make sure they don't replace you. I think in the end, that's the chip, isn't it? Like, not everybody can have the motto, when I'm doing nothing, I'm actually doing something.
Priceless.
Exactly. It is priceless. There is zero that you put on that kind of philosophy.
Oh, that's priceless. Zero. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
So I felt bad last night watching NFL Network. I wanted to catch Total Access at 7, and they led off with the Giants. Whoa, they're off to a rough start at training camp.
I guess what, Coleman got hurt?
Tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And that was announced by the Giants today on top of Sterling Shepard, who was looking to lock in the number one spot at wideout. He suffered a fractured thumb also yesterday, first day of camp. But they did not announce a timetable as to when how long he would be out.
Let's see. You're already penciled in to be fourth. Let's see. And you get hurt. Do you fall from fourth? No. But they've got Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones thing is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. You want to talk about doubters?
I would think the Giants' goal would for him not even for him to set foot on the field this year, right?
I think he's got to set foot in the field at some point. I don't mean in a prime time role. I mean, you know, just kind of get his feet wet here. Now, obviously, the preseason, he is going to be incredibly scrutinized in the preseason. Incredibly scrutinized. People are going to be looking for, not for any progress he makes, they're going to be looking for every fault he has.
Well, it's like we talked about last hour of social media, talking about all these great players and all these little snippets we're seeing, you know, in the first hours of training camp. Yeah, they're making plays. You know, it's what they're supposed to be doing, making plays. But yeah, but with a cat like Daniel Jones, oh man, they're going to post that little video of him tossing the ball. It's You know, it's an extra 5 feet higher in the air. It lands 20 feet out of bounds.
And they're going to be all over any mistake he makes. Now, the question will be, can he then silence the doubters along the way by showing a level of high-level consistency? Only time will tell on that. Only time will tell. Like, there are critics out there. I was reading the Brian Anderson article, and Marty Brennan was talking about there was one guy early in his career that just, I mean, no matter if Marty called the sky blue, the critic would crush him because he didn't give the proper shade of blue. He said it really bothered him as time went. You know, you really do have to somehow, some way, block critics out. You have to have a realization in your profession. It doesn't mean somebody from the outside can't observe something and go, wait a minute, okay, let me think about that. Okay? I mean, that's possible. But for the most part, they can't do what you do. Anyway, Sean and I are going to walk into a sheet metal fabrication shop and say, you know what, I got a better way for you to weld. What are you, nuts? I'm not going to walk in and do that. So you got to be able to block the critics out. And that's where the social media part is. I know everybody wants us engaged on social media as often as possible. You know, and you can tell. I mean, I take that mandate seriously. And so, but I'm sorry. You have to have a part of you in there that says, I know my job better than anybody else. Doesn't mean I can't take advice, because you can. But, you know, you can spout off all you want. If I don't read it or don't know about it, don't care about it, is it really effective? No. And that's what, you know, a lot of these young players have to do. They're out there reading their social media all the time. Don't do it. They can't catch the ball like you can. They can't run like you can. They didn't know what the problem was as to why something didn't work. You do. Players have got to be able to ignore social media. I think coaches have to ignore social media, too. And they've got to use it in the recruiting process. But in terms of, like, well, I think you stink. Well, that's fine. Here's one for you. I don't care. It's like the tree falling in the forest. Did it make a noise? And again, in the words of the great philosopher, if I'm doing nothing, maybe I'm doing something. Wait a minute, that's a different conversation.
Sensei,
we'll come back with
digital sensing.
It's amazing how Roger never has bought into that. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. So I'm on a show in Michigan this morning, and they said that on their social media, their Twitter question of the day was, should Penn State and Michigan State play the last game of the season against one another? And they asked me about it. And I said, look, there is no doubt in my mind they should be playing the last game of the regular season against each other. That series, which began in 1993, had finally started to gain some traction. And also was playing a role in who was winning the Big Ten or the division. And you look since 2005, I think Ohio State has 6 Big Ten championships. In other words, with tiebreakers and whatever, they're the champion 6 times. Okay? Second since 2005 is Penn State with 3 and Michigan State with 3. And then there's Wisconsin with 2. Michigan has none in that span. So that Penn State-Michigan State game at the end of the year was also a swing game helping to determine who was the Big Ten champion. The Big Ten has played this game since getting Rutgers and Maryland into the conference as to how to play this thing out. And I think they've missed the boat on it almost completely. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State will play the last game. It's got incredible national popularity. It has significance, but it also has great national popularity. The TV ratings for that game are incredibly good. Then you got Penn State, Michigan State, and then just have Rutgers play Maryland at the end. You already have a crossover game that's automatic the last weekend of the season. It's the old Oak and Bucket game between Indiana and Purdue. So let's flip it to the West. Nebraska, since they've come in, have developed a really nice Thanksgiving Friday game with Iowa. And I've talked to the Iowa people, and the Iowa people like it, just like the Nebraska people do. That's worked out well. You already have Illinois and Northwestern. Just have Minnesota play Wisconsin. Stop all this rotating mumbo-jumbo that comes up. I mean, they've been, last year, Michigan State closed with Rutgers. This year, Penn State will close with Rutgers. Penn State closed with Maryland before that. The Big Ten needs to stop the nonsense to try and create something that isn't there. Stop trying to pretend like, you know, hell, because of proximity, Penn State should play Maryland at the end. Because of proximity, Penn State should play Maryland. We'll rotate. We'll also rotate Michigan State in once in a while. You already had a good thing going. Hey, don't mess it up. Let Rutgers and Maryland develop a rivalry and play the last game as the last two teams in who already have proximity. Penn State should be playing Michigan State in the final game of the regular season. Just like Michigan's playing Ohio State at the end of the season. I thought it was an interesting question. I know it's been a long time since I talked about it, but after being on the show this morning and being asked about it, we were all of us, the two hosts, and I were in complete agreement about that.
So after Michigan State was off the schedule as the final regular season game, it was supposed to be a 4-year stretch. It was going to be Penn State, Wisconsin. But then the announcement was made that Nebraska was coming into the conference, and then they were shifting after that, right? Is that how it played out?
No. It was going to be Penn State was going to be playing Michigan State. And then when they went to the Leaders and Legends, they put Penn State, Wisconsin at the end. Because Wisconsin was in Penn State's division and Michigan State was not. So because Penn State and Michigan State were in different divisions, that's why they didn't play at the end of the season because of the Leaders Legends deal. Then when Michigan State was put back into the same division with Penn State, they then slipped back into that last spot. But then they came up with we have to come up with a new schedule. And they started rotating Rutgers, Maryland, and Michigan State at the end of the season. And said, after a while, you're like, just knock it off. Right? You've been handed something on a silver platter that does not take much thought around the table to get done. In fact, you've got a natural doubleheader built in on the last weekend of the season. Ohio State, Michigan always play at noon. Well, you put Penn State, Michigan State at 3:30. Now, you own a good chunk of real estate there. I know Auburn plays Alabama, but you own a good chunk of real estate there on TV. And you already have Indiana playing Purdue. You'd have Nebraska play Iowa. Wisconsin would play Minnesota. You know, the Battle of Illinois, Northwestern. Just have Rutgers and Maryland play each other at the end of the year. Jeez, stop overthinking it. It gives you something meaningful at the end of the season. I mean, do you think people are going to sit here and they're playing Rutgers at the end. Oh, a rivalry. People don't think that. I mean, Rutgers is desperate to have people think that, but that's not reality. That's just not reality. You can't manufacture and make up a rivalry. You just can't. It just has to happen naturally, and that's why over time, Penn State and Michigan State had started to gain some traction. Right? It wasn't going to be like Penn State and Pitt at the end of the year, but in the Big Ten, it was gaining traction as a really good game, and it was gaining traction as being a must-see game. The King next half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's a summer night in July. It's a summer weekend. You need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the home of plenty of cold beverages. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts, fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And don't forget about the great special through Tuesday. Yingling Golden Pilsner, 12-pack, 12-ounce cans, $9.49. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great product, great staff, great service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean, I will allow you to introduce our next guest.
The Friday afternoon tradition, unlike any other, the most interesting man now up and down the entire East Coast. Number 78 in your former Enfield High School football program. Number one in our hearts, Steve's brother, Kevin Jones.
What up?
The King.
How's
King.
It going, guys?
What up?
Yep. Not much going on around here. Beautiful day.
How you feeling? You doing good?
I'm doing fine. I've got a little journey on my hands, but I'm all right. So I'm off the antibiotics, so we'll wait and see if the infection comes back. If it doesn't come back, then they'll operate on me. If it comes back, I don't know what the plan is. So, whatever. I'm alive. I'm happy. So, whatever.
There you go.
Just deal with it when it comes, that's all.
That could be the next new slogan for the head of digital media. I'm alive, I'm happy. That could,
yeah.
In case this first slogan doesn't
no,
shake it.
I go back to what I said. Sometimes when we're doing nothing, we're actually doing something. I mean, I think that is a motto that I think freaks out most management.
Hey, I got a question for you. I heard this on the radio today. Oh, first of all, Well, me and Sean were talking before, and I said, oh, college baseball, you know. And we were talking about UConn sports, and maybe the Big East would be good for UConn and college baseball, but nobody watches it. And then I kind of misspoke. ESPN's top five baseball broadcasts this year, four out of the five were the College World Series. The other one was Yankee Red Sox.
Right.
So the college, Michigan, it was especially Michigan.
Right.
They were their top-rated baseball games this year. And so the glass is half full, half empty. Good for college, bad for the Major League Baseball. So that they're being outdrawn by college baseball.
Yeah, and you know, but you're also being outdrawn by the climax of college baseball. Now, in the end, does the College World Series outdraw the Major League Baseball playoffs and Major League World Series?
I don't know, but I'm just saying Major League Baseball is not drawing. I'm sure the World Series will do better than the College World Series, but as far as Major League Baseball versus college baseball, whether it be the College Baseball World Series or not, it outdrew Major League Baseball. And that includes all their Monday night games, Sunday night games, all that.
Yep.
So
local TV ratings are down 4% from a year ago. We went through this the other day. We talked about this. There are certain ones that have dropped. For example, the Red Sox are down 14%, their local TV rating from a year before. But here's the one that shocked me. I think the Yankees are really good, and not only really good, I think they're really entertaining. I mean, they're an entertaining team. Their TV ratings are down 26% locally from last year.
It's because the game is unwatchable. And that's the question I heard on... I mean, you can sit and watch a couple innings, but my goodness, the game just takes a... Look at... did you see that the game, the Twins and Yankees? Yankees won it 16-14 or something?
Yeah.
And the guy made the catch in the center... I watched that game. The guy made the catch in center field the end of the game. He laid out And the Twins had the bases loaded in the 10th inning, and he laid out and caught the ball, and the game was over. But anyway, I heard a question today on another station. Actually, I'll give credit to Rob Dibble in Hartford.
Who's been on this show.
Yeah, I know. If you could change, in other words, the big question is, how do you change Major League Baseball to make it more interesting for people to watch? You know, that obviously they have an enormous problem right now. And do you eliminate replay? Because a lot of people miss Earl Weaver, you know, kicking dirt on the umpire and stuff like that. By having replay, you eliminated the manager coming out and arguing plays. I mean, all they could do was argue balls and strikes. So his question was, if you could change one rule to make the game faster, what would you change?
What would look, there's a bunch of them. I mean, there's some certain rules that are already on the books.
Yeah.
There's a series of things that change. It's not just one. So let me go through the series of them, okay? There is a rule in place that you have to pitch 20 seconds. Well, enforce it. Pitch in 20 seconds. A batter should never, unless the batter swings, the batter should never be allowed to leave the box in between pitches. Never. All right? Calling time? No. Keep going. Okay? The only time you go out to the mound is when you're taking the pitcher out. None of this mumbo jumbo about, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to talk to you because I failed to get a reliever ready.
I love what the guy's doing down in Tampa. I think that's brilliant. I never even thought of that, where he takes his pitcher out and puts him at first base.
Oh, I've seen guys do that.
Lefty-righty. He has his lefty pitching to a left-handed batter. Then he takes him out, puts him at first base, brings in the righty. He pitches to the next batter. I that's brilliant. So.
Yeah, but I've seen that done before, though. You know, and the difference is that I remember when he came up and they said the Red Sox were protesting. I said, over what? I've seen this happen several times before where teams have done that, especially back in the 70s they did it. Well, then I realized what the protest was about, all right? And the protest actually had some merit to it, even though it got turned down. When you do that, you then have to designate in the lineup which one is now there instead of the designated hitter.
Right. They overturned the protest because it didn't change the outcome of the game.
It didn't change the outcome of the game, but that's why they protested. Was, in other words, wait, okay, you got two of them out there. Which one's out there now batting in the DH's spot?
Right.
Right. So that's what they're. I mean, so the Atlantic League. Then the next part is I would eliminate shifts. You have to have two on the left side, two on the right side.
Why eliminate a shift? That's not going to speed the game up.
I think it puts more offense into the game, which is what you need.
They got plenty of offense. They're hitting home runs left and right.
And they're striking out left and right, and they're walking left and right. There's not enough.
You were right about stepping out of the box. Right. Well, what you were right about is enforce it. All these rules are in the books. They don't enforce them.
What I'm talking about with shifts is this. When you there are people that sit there and they'll say, I love soccer. All right. Okay, soccer doesn't have a lot of scoring. But guess what? The ball is always in play and in moving. The puck is always in play and moving. In basketball, the ball is almost always in play and moving. Right? In baseball, the ball is in play 8 minutes a night. By eliminating shifts, I want the ball in play more.
Yeah, you're right, but that's been like that forever. I mean, it wasn't in play any longer back in the 70s when we play ball on the,
the ball used to be in play like 16, 17 minutes in a three-hour game. Now it's down to 8 minutes.
Well, I never counted the minutes. I was kind of more getting to, like, one guy had this, and it was interesting. If a game goes into extra innings, let's say, not 10 innings, but 12 innings, each team gets to put a guy on second base.
Well, that already happens here with State College. It's a rule I'm used to. It's the second year they've done it where you get to the 10th inning, you put the runner on second. And it's funny, I was at Williamsport last year, and the first time they did it in Williamsport, the fans started chanting, "That's not baseball." That's not baseball.
Well,
like
I don't know, but you know,
but
what?
You know what?
How many fans were chanting at the eight that went to the game? You know,
I just thought it was funny.
There's nobody going to the games because the darn game is so freaking boring. It's boring, you know.
Well, it was a rule that I didn't think I was going to like, but I said, let's give it a chance. And to be honest with you, after a couple of years of it, I like it. It's fine. Except I don't want to see it on the major league level. And maybe in the 12th inning, if I were really pushed on it, but not in 10, in the 10th or 11th inning, I'd keep playing the game. That's another one I would look at. Now, here's an interesting one, the Atlantic. See, the Atlantic League is where they're experimenting with all this stuff.
They got robots, too, right?
Yeah, robot umpires. I mean, I'm not sure about that, but you can steal first base. If a guy uncorks a wild pitch when you're at the plate, you can run to first.
I don't like that.
And it's actually happened in the game. And again, that's not a rule I'm for, but at least somebody's trying.
Yeah. I agree with that. You got to try something. I mean, Major League Baseball's got to look at football, got to look at basketball, got to look at the other sports that try things. Football, especially. They'll try stuff. If it doesn't work, they get rid of it. But they try it. You
right.
know? It, baseball is just like, I don't know.
Hockey they've got rid of the two-line pass problem. And opened up the whole game.
I mean, you put a game on, and you're good for a couple innings. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, you know. Let's get going here, you know. 18-pitch at-bats, you know.
They waste too much time.
Yeah,
there's so much time waste. Again, okay, you go out to take a pitcher out. That's the only time you should go to the mound. The only time you should go to the mound. I don't want the pitching coach out there messing around, yapping, whatever, right? In part because we messed up and didn't get somebody up and warming up, so I got to kill some time here. No, 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 no. I did not come to the ballpark to watch you talk. Okay? I came out to watch him pitch.
Where did pitchers suddenly take forever to throw a baseball?
You want to know why? Psychology.
David Price that's out there like he's posing for the camera, you know?
I know.
He's
it's all.
Sweet old time. It's like, well, you just throw the ball. You've been doing it since you were 8 years old, you know?
Just... It's all part of the sports psychology part. You know, psychology is very, very important. Very important. Especially with the pressures in life, the pressures in sports. I just did a long interview with Brendan Carr, Penn State's sports psychologist, the other day. But when it comes to, but where it crosses the line into mumbo jumbo, okay, where it goes from serious, absolutely needed, let's talk about your family, let's talk about your pressures, whether you're, you know, whatever it may be. But when you have some sports psychologists cross the line and say, okay, now, visualize the front of the rim. Visualize the ball coming toward the bat. Okay? Okay. Knock it off. Shoot
visualize
it.
Visualize the pitch billion it. Dollars you get okay. to pitch
okay.
a game.
Okay. Visualize people leaving the arena because we're all watching you visualize. Okay?
Oh, God. He's
okay?
awful.
Just right. get the ball and pitch it. Get in the box and hit. If you can't, you can't. Guess what? Waiting around the extra 30 seconds is not going to get you to hit. I can guarantee I've watched
as a
enough
Red
sports
Sox,
in my life.
As a Red Sox fan, did it drive you nuts with when Big Poppy would have that routine every time?
Oh, like, I'd be saying that. Like, get in the box. Get in the box.
See,
I don't. You know, no
I
more Gracie Apera.
Guy, Jerry Callahan, who just got fired with WEEI, which I won't listen to the station anymore. Jerry Callahan and Mike Modansky both lost their jobs in the morning for no reason at all. The station is just stupid. But Callahan said, these guys know they're on TV. And they won't waste their time to be on TV. They're out there showcasing themselves. And he believed that 100%. There's no reason for you not to get the ball and pitch the ball. You know, your fielders are falling asleep out there. It's
yep.
to your advantage to
yep.
pitch faster.
Mark Burley. Mark Burley. His perfect game was less than 2 hours. Burley always pitched fast. Give me the ball.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay.
Let's
I mean,
go.
He may not
I'm
be.
Not
this
let
guy
the
may
batter
not
get set. I'm gonna right. get the ball and I'm gonna dictate the game. I'm
I mean,
dictating
the, guy,
the pace of the game.
The guy may not be the greatest pitcher going right now, but Wade Miley of the Houston Astros. Get the ball. Here we go.
Yep.
Get the ball. Here we go. He's good enough. He's a good major league pitcher. He's not great, but he's good. Nomar Garciaparra. Every single. Get out.
Oh, my God.
Gloves. Batting gloves.
Yeah.
What? You didn't put them on right the first time?
No. Yeah.
Let's go.
I don't know. It's a shame because it's such a
every,
great game, but
right.
I
because
love
what's
sports.
Happened is
I
that they've been.
I'd rather watch the Red Sox lose than the Yankees win. So I love to sit down and watch a good ball game. And this year is really good for me. But. After a while, you're like, my gosh. And then you get to the later innings, and this pitcher's in, that pitcher's in, this pitcher's
yep.
in. That. You're like, oh, my God, you are overthinking this. Take the ball and pitch it, you know?
Yep.
Just you're ruining your own product. And mean, Yankees, Red Sox, their stadiums are full. You know and I know they're full for one reason, corporate.
Right.
People are using this as corporations, and
right.
here I've got, oh, well, you get the corporate tickets, you know. I've got a block of four seats, and they're all bought up. And the general fan isn't walking off the street and going to a ball game tonight. It's all corporate. The seats are already purchased. And it's a shame. I mean, we're beating a dead horse because we talk about it every week, but it's a fact that this, America's great game is falling apart.
Well, and what's happened is that you have to do your routine. Do your routine. So that's why you see Big Poppy go through and do the exact same thing every time. Nobody knows
he's on TV doing it.
Right. But they're also told...
He was hardly on the field.
Right, but there's more to it than that, Kev. You've got somebody telling them everything's about routine. Everything's about... Because I've been around it. I've seen it. It's about routine. Stick to your routine. Oh, for goodness sakes. They pitch you the ball, run. Okay? Okay, get the ball, throw it. Okay, get in the box, hit it. If the puck comes to you and you're open, shoot it. If he's open, pass it to him.
Yeah.
All right, let's not overcomplicate it here. Okay, I'm wide open. I'll take the three. If I'm not open and you're open, I'll pass you the ball, dunk the darn thing. Okay, it's not that complicated.
I would think one of the reasons why ESPN now has the 7 p.m. start for Sunday Night Baseball instead of 8 o'clock. I mean, for the last couple of years, a lot of these Yankees-Red Sox games, I mean, it took... take 4 hours to play. I mean, not even the main goal is to, like, if they can get it under 3.5 hours, it'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't
ruin Scott Van Pelt's night. Come on,
ruin their routine.
The games used to be fun to watch, and it is fun to watch, but it reaches a point where you're like, God, I got to go to bed. It's 1 a.m. You know, it's like you're taking too long. The innings just take forever.
That's how I was Tuesday night.
And replay just slows it down.
That's how I was.
Yeah, replay
does
slow it down.
The game.
Yeah. And replay takes the emotion out of the game.
Yeah.
All right. When you're sitting there, like, was it a touchdown? Well, I was cheering, but was it a touchdown? All right. They got him at first. What a play. Oh, now we got to wait. It's taking the emotion out of the game because now you got to wait to find out whether you should be happy or not.
Yeah. And then by that time, I forgot which, gosh, was it the NBA? Yeah, wasn't it Toronto? So waiting to 10 minutes to celebrate that they won the championship. They were reviewing a nothing, and yeah, I guess.
Right.
It could have meant something. There was like a half a second left in the game, and you're like,
right.
My goodness, you just ruined the end of the game. You know?
I know.
Just play it out. And the call on court was right, you know. But they had to put
1.7 back on the clock though. They gotta get it right.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, terrific.
They ruined the emotion of the game. So you've got a way out. What was more important, you know? I mean, was Golden State really going to gripe over 1 second?
No, they were already congratulating Toronto. They were already congratulating the Raptors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.